Devin Clark, Israel Gutierrez, David Dennis Jr., Mina Kimes, and Jaden Daniels on today's show. How he responded to the rumors that he didn't want to go with New England? Well, cap. The little blue cap. The accessory for quarterbacks this year. Everyone's looking for the next C.J. Stroud. Could it be Jaden? Let's go around the horn. Let's start with the Cleveland Cavaliers, though. A cavalanche in the fourth quarter last night. A Dean Wade show to beat Boston. He was unconscious in the fourth. A thrilling win for the Cavaliers. Game came down to the last play and foul initially called on the court and then challenged. Did Garland foul Tatum? No is the final call. That's how Boston's 11-game win streak ends. That's how the Cavs get the win of the year. Gutierrez around the horn to you. Make a call on that last play and your takeaway from Cleveland over Boston.
Well, my takeaway on that last play is it used to be where you would have to get fouled particularly hard on a game-winning situation to get the call. Now they try to say, hey, a foul is a foul. They go the opposite direction and they call a foul in a spot where maybe it's not, because they know in all likelihood if somebody has a review, they're going to review it. And in that case, 15, 20 years ago, you're never getting that call if you're Jason Tatum. And the reason I don't like the stoppage of play there is you look at Kristaps Porzingis could have gotten an offensive rebound and putback. So you kind of let the game flow a little bit. And maybe you don't have to deal with that sort of replay situation. But as much as I want to, you know, maybe make this about a Cavs feel-good win, beat the Knicks. Okay, then we'll talk, Cavaliers. This was about the Celtics, sort of all their fears coming true. The fourth quarter of a Jason Tatum scoring 2 points and Jaylen Brown scoring 0 points, and everybody else just sort of following along and saying, hey, we're going to watch this lead dwindle. They haven't done this so far really this year, but just one or two reminders before the playoffs will strike some fear in them and their fans.
David Dennis Jr., make a call on the final play there and then your takeaway from the game.
Yeah, this is why a replay doesn't actually fix the problem of bad calls. That bad call just doomed the rest of the game. It was a wrong call. They fixed it. But as Izzy said, there could have been a rebound. There could have been a chance for Boston to have a putback. But instead, because you blew the whistle, now you have a tip ball with 0.7 seconds left. It's impossible to score. So you robbed everybody of a chance for that game to really have a dramatic conclusion. Now, in terms of Boston, overall, I'm not going to worry about that game. They're still 43-3 when leading in the fourth quarter. That was still an amazing game by Dean Wade that fourth quarter. They still have the best net efficiency net rating since the 72-10 Bulls. So overall, I'm not going to worry. But a couple things you want to note here is that Tatum has the worst clutch field goal percentage, and that offense did look very, very stagnant. They looked like they were kind of having some of those same issues down the stretch that they did in the playoffs last year. So those are things you want to keep an eye on as we get to the end of this season.
And nothing on Cleveland for David Dennis either. This is incredible. I thought the Cavaliers won the game I watched. Mina Kimes, to you.
Oh, you're setting me up to fail because, like the Celtics, I am going to come up short here and talk about Boston. First, I'll talk about the foul, though. I understand what you guys are saying about stopping the game, but it was Tatum's decision-making that led them to that moment, frankly, and it was the right call. So it's hard for me to weep too much for Boston. I have mixed feelings about whether or not this bodes poorly for them moving forward, because a lot of the problems that we saw were not problems we've seen at all this season. They've been excellent in the fourth quarter, seventh in offense. They've been excellent shooting threes. They went cold. It's the Tatum factor, which David alluded to, that should make Celtics fans a little bit nervous. The fact that he has struggled in clutch time all season long and then, of course, came up very cold in this game, that is concerning because history suggests it could still be a problem moving forward.
All right, Kevin Clark, I turn to you. Is it possible this game wasn't about the Boston Celtics? Maybe it was about the Cleveland Cavaliers to you.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about Cleveland with the Kelseys in the house, with Travis Kelce telling Dean Wade it could be a backup tight end if he wanted to. This was about the Cavaliers. Izzy said this wasn't a feel-good win for the Cavs. Yes, it was. This was an unbelievable night. The Cavs are like an old-school rock band where they're able to put the spotlight on one guy and say, oh, now playing Dean Wade on the drums, Max Strus last week. This was the best fourth-quarter three-point percentage performance of the year, rivaling only Strus last week. With the fourth quarter for Dean Wade, 20 points in the fourth quarter and a huge comeback, outscoring the opposition. Nobody's done that since Kobe Bryant in 2002.
Yo.
How is this not about the Cleveland Cavaliers, a deep team that's going to make some noise in the playoffs?
Israel Gutierrez, the floor back to you.
I mean, to call upon our old friend Stu Gatz, do it against the Knicks. Nobody's going to say the Cleveland Cavaliers can do anything until they've shown they can beat the New York.
Well, they just beat the Boston Celtics last night, a team on an 11-game winning streak coming off a 52-point win. I don't understand. They can only play one game last night. They played it and they won. Go ahead, David Dennis Jr.
I will say the Dean Wade thing, that's not as replicable as their defense, which is a top-tier defense in the league. Holding the Celtics to 11 points in the last 9 minutes is something that they can absolutely replicate throughout the rest of the season and the playoffs.
We've been warm. We'll move on. Also last night in the NBA, Suns 117, Nuggets 107, an overtime road win for Phoenix with Kevin Durant closing out in the champs' faces. David, is there such a thing as a March statement for Phoenix? And what statement was made then?
The statement here that was made by Phoenix is the fact that when they have three shooters that are hot, last night Grayson Allen stepped up with 28 points, they are pretty much unstoppable offensively. And Nurkic is the closest thing to a defender that we can see to cause Jokic some problems. He was 8 for 18 last night. He's not a Jokic stopper, but he can cause some problems. The issue with Phoenix, though, is that their battle is so far uphill because they've dug such a hole this season. They've only had about 23 games with their big three playing together. They already have Booker with the injury. Don't know how long he's going to be out. 14 of their last 20 games are with against teams that are top five in each of their conferences. So they have an incredible uphill battle that, you know, they're really behind the eight ball. But if they get, you know, some favorable matchups and that offense is clicking, they can cause some real trouble in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's sort of an age-old question. Do you give them credit for the comeback, or do you bury them for necessitating that comeback by almost blowing it? To David's point, I do think it's very encouraging to see that sort of shot-making from Grayson Allen and Booker Stead, you know, suggesting that they have some depth, which is, of course, a question with this team. But the fact that they went so cold in the fourth is concerning because it's a team that ranks 25th league-wide in effective shooting percent, field goal percentage in the fourth quarter. So it's been an issue all season long, and to see that issue crop up again is worrisome, even if they were able to overcome it in large part because Kevin Durant was so spectacular at the end of the
game. Kevin, what did Phoenix show you last night in the win in Denver?
In the season of the sleeping giant, because I keep getting asked, oh, are the Warriors scary as a 10 seed? Are the Lakers getting hot? The Phoenix Suns in the West are the sleeping giant. Bradley Beal needs big game reps. He has not played a lot of playoff games. He's not played really a big game since Game 7 against the Celtics in 2017. That was a long time ago. And so for him to be perfect in OT along with Durant to turn around their fortunes, they were not good at shooting in regulation last night. To have that kind of performance shows me they're getting hot at the right time. This is the sleeping giant in the West.
This is the right time? Getting hot right now? March is the right time for Kevin Clark? Interesting.
I mean, March is just before April.
Israel Gutierrez.
Have the Suns beaten the Knicks? I got to check on that. But what I did see was the Suns playing defense. This was a Denver Nuggets team at home, and Jokic doesn't miss that many shots. You know, Michael Porter Jr. has been on a heater, and he wasn't very well, didn't play very well yesterday, didn't shoot it very well. Jamal Murray has a little bit of an ankle thing, but yeah, he was defended particularly well. And I think if you get Jusuf Nurkic against Nikola Jokic, and he goes 2 of 8 as the primary defender against Nurkic. I mean, that's pretty encouraging if you're Phoenix. So I echo what everybody else said about the Suns' offense, but their defense kind of showed some signs.
All right, so this was a game where a team won it, and you were actually focusing on the team that won. Very, very interesting. Okay.
Yes.
We've been horned. We'll move on. Let's talk Jaden Daniels, because there is some heat coming around Daniels. But first, He responded to NBC Sports Boston's Phil Perry's report that there were those in Daniel's camp who would rather he not go to New England because of the climate. His post was cap. I wonder, is it climate? Is that about the actual literal climate, the temperature outside, or is that about the climate of the franchise? But either way, talking about the heat and the rise of Jaden Daniels, Daniel Lofsky last week said it was Jaden Daniels who should go number one in Chicago. Lewis Riddick today on First Take said it's Jaden Daniels who should go number one to Chicago. Mina Kimes to you. Every team's looking for the C.J. Stroud of this year. He went two, of course. Could it be Jaden Daniels?
First, I'd say this is, I think, the first time that I really feel sad that Bill Belichick is no longer the coach of the New England Patriots, because I would relish the visual of someone printing out that emoji, handing it to him, and having to explain to him what the blue cap is. As we all did on our call this morning. No, here's the thing about C.J. Stroud and Daniels. They're very different prospects. Daniels is more athletic. He has a great arm. Yeah. C.J. Stroud, I thought, was a better pure passer, particularly over the middle of the field. But where Stroud might help Daniels and where you might see some similarities is this. One of the biggest questions about Stroud as a prospect was that he was basically playing with an all-star team of receivers at Ohio State. People thought, well, it's so easy. What's it going to be like when he gets to the NFL? Turned out it was easy in the NFL, too. You could say something very similar about Jaden Daniels. I think it's probably one of the biggest dings on him as a prospect is that he was throwing to Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr. behind great protection. But I also think it's possible he could have a similar trajectory to Stroud, because when you look at him in a vacuum, he is that good. He is not my number one quarterback in this draft, but I think he absolutely merits a top three pick.
Oh, top three. Well, give me your top three then in the quarterback stock.
Right now, for me, it's Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels.
In that order in the draft as well. Okay. Kevin That's Clark, right. To you now on what you see from Jaden Daniels on tape and walking around the combine this week, because he didn't throw.
Yeah, so Daniels is my number two quarterback, and he's a similar story, if not prospect, to C.J. Stroud, and that there's a proof of concept there. Every NFL scout looking back on C.J. Stroud's story said, hey, look, he torched a Georgia defense with 11 NFL guys. There was a proof of concept there. I'm looking at Jaden Daniels' explosive plays, 20-plus yard plays. He has the most in the history of Power 5 conferences. Mm. Joe Burrow previously had that record. Jalen Hurts is number three all time. And so for me, he's dynamic prospect. He's the type of guy that was just able to have his way with SEC defenses. If there were a better defense with LSU last year, they would have been national championship contender. This is a guy who, as long as you're comfortable with the weight, there are some concerns with the weight, he is going to be a stud for years to come.
Israel Gutierrez, where do you have Daniels on the Gutierrez board?
Yeah, that was my only concern. I would put him ahead of Drake May. My only concern would be the size, maybe the health factor, longevity factor. If he takes these big hits, can he survive back there? But I think it's pretty simple with the NFL and quarterbacks playing these days. There is no prototype of quarterback anymore. If you see electricity in a quarterback, take that quarterback, because that ceiling is going to be very high for Daniels. And we've seen that these mobile quarterbacks, you can sort of coach accuracy if there's an inaccuracy problem. I think when you see the potential of somebody like Daniels, you almost have to trust your coaching staff and say, hey, we can do a lot with that quarterback.
So you've got him in the two spot. Clark has him in the two spot, the C.J. Stroud spot of last year. Mina, you said three, and David Dennis Jr.?
I got him at two. 12,000 passing yards, 4,000 rushing yards. The dude is a playmaker. Second in QBR over his time in college. Mac Jones is number one, so we're going to ignore that part of that. But, you know, this dude can make plays in the NFL. That is translatable. The size thing, yes, that could be an issue. Only five quarterbacks at around his weight have played more than 14 games. But that guy can, you know, he can make some things happen.
The climate part of this, Mina and Kevin, I'll just ask you as we go to break here. Quarterbacks, is that literal climate in cold weather, or is that something they're trying to avoid, Mina?
Scared to compete. Look, if he just doesn't want to live in cold weather as someone coming to you from L.A., I can relate.
Yeah, I don't even understand it. It's not like a warm weather team has a top pick or wants to trade up. He's going to be somewhere cold. Sorry, man. Buy a jacket.
Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes have played in cold weather. It worked out pretty well. We'll take a break. Fire sale next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Seaport. Brought to you by Grey Goose.
It's March, it's madness, and it's Purdue, Big Ten champions again. Huge road win at number 12 Illinois last night to do it. So back-to-back years, regular season conference champs, but you know where this is going, right? The Boiler baggage. They're tracking for a one seed again, last year losing to the 16 seed. Mina, buy or sell trust in this year's Purdue?
I am buying them a little tentatively, but they have the most quad one team wins, pardon me, of any team that accounts for ranking top 30 teams in home and away. And also because the players around Zach Edey have gotten better, specifically Braden Smith, their guard, who hit the dagger last night, since February, averaging nearly 16 points per game. So they seem more complete to me this year.
You have faith in this Boilermaker team, David Dennis Jr.?
Yeah, I have faith in this Boilermaker team. Last time a team, number one seed, lost to a 16 seed, the only time it happened was Virginia. They won the national championship the next year, so all of that past stuff doesn't matter as much. Edey is dominant as ever. Last night, 28 points, dominated the boards. Yes, this team has a shot to go far. I think they're probably the favorite.
Israel Gutierrez, how about you?
Yeah, I agree with Mina. Less relying on Edey means they're a little bit more of a potential team. Doing it on the road, clinching here on the road against an Illinois team. Purdue came into this game as an underdog, and holding out late and winning this game, I think, is a sign that maybe they're prepared better for the one-and-done situation in the postseason.
Clark.
Yeah, first back-to-back Big Ten regular season champion since 2007. That was Ohio State, led by Mark Titus. Listen, they have more top 25 net wins than they have nine than Houston and UConn combined. There's a good argument they could be the number one, or should be the number one overall seed in the tournament. Everybody in college hoops is a choker until they're not. Everybody said Billy Donovan was no tournament guy. Then all of a sudden he wins back-to-back national championships. This is how it works. This is how it's going to go. They're gonna
all right. So you had them as the overall number one, and David Dennis Jr. said the favorite. That's over UConn, the defending champ. It's over Houston, as you said, over a couple of other teams in the conversation. We'll move on. Buy or sell two, Video Daily Double, the artist's renderings of the Las Vegas ballpark that could and would house the A's. Look at this. This was released by the team, but we all know the move to Vegas is not done yet, and it's very controversial, if not skullduggerous. Kevin Clark, buy or sell that artist's rendering.
Yeah, I'm buying the renderings. These are the seventh set of renderings the A's have given out over the past
right?
7 years. Yes, you don't need to have realistic renderings. This is supposed to be on 9 acres. That didn't like 9 acres to me. They don't have the money for it. I am buying unrealistic renderings. Let's dream big, guys. This isn't going to happen.
Drew Gutierrez.
I mean, it looks great. I'm buying that. I'm selling that it makes me want to watch a baseball game there. I kind of want to watch like a Dave Matthews concert. It's giving amphitheater vibes, maybe a big blanket or something. But yeah, you know, it's probably never going to see it, are we?
David Dennis Jr.?
I'm buying one part of this rendering. The sun is actually setting in the wrong spot here, which is an accurate rendering of the fact that John Fisher doesn't know what to do with a star when he sees one. Other than that, there's nothing here that is going to actually come to place. It's just here for us to look at and marvel at this AI rendering that some intern probably did.
Mina Kimes.
Yeah, a lot of people looked at that, saw the Sydney Opera House, feels appropriate since they're stealing team, essentially. I see a screen on which you could project a giant Dorito or eyeball having come from Vegas, which would be good, by the way, because they could make money instead of publicly funding this thing.
I don't mind. The Sydney Opera House is one of the most beautiful buildings on the planet. Sure, go for the best if you're going to try to copy something. It's already a city that has a fake Eiffel Tower and a fake Statue of Liberty. At least that one's good. Mm-hmm. There's David Dennis Jr. Israel Gutierrez. Look what happens to your score.
Beat the Knicks.
Zero. Even par for the day, IG. It's MK and KC. MK, next.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Mina Kimes, Kevin Clark, good luck in showdown. Another triple-double from Luka Doncic, but the Mavericks lit up 137 to Indy and lost again. For a point, anybody know Dallas's record in Doncic 30-point triple-doubles? Anybody? And what does it mean?
1-3.
Not 1-3. Ooh, Mina closes. 6-6. Good luck. Good job, Kimes. Now, what does it mean that they're so bad when he hits triple-doubles?
I mean, look, I'm not trying to put Luka in the proverbial hot dog suit. He's not blaming anyone here, at least as far as I know. But it's become clear he is part of the problem on defense. Over the last three games, 130 points per 100 possessions opponents when he's on the floor. Feels like he's spending too much of his energy on offense right now.
Kevin Clark.
Yeah, worst defense in the NBA since the All-Star break by far. Jason Kidd said, we've tried everything. Well, not everything, Jason Kidd, because the last time you were fired as a head coach was 6 years ago, and that Bucks team went from bottom half of the league to first in 1 year.
He's right.
I love how optimistic you are, Mina, that he's just working too hard on offense. That's why his defense is poor. Maybe his defense is poor because his defense is poor. Let's not get defensive. We'll move on. Zion, because move the ball. Zion Williamson said he'll do the dunk contest if he's voted into an All-Star game. Kevin, could Zion save the dunk contest?
Yeah, listen, we need more big names. I think there's a lot of jokes you can make about Zion and his health, and maybe he's a different player than he was when he was throwing down incredible dunks in college. But we need big names. We need a culture of competition. Or just bring it back. Bring back the dunk contest as a place guys like Zion want to do. So I'm in favor of this.
Mekon?
Do we need more big names? Because Jaylen Brown competed this year, and he didn't exactly energize the event. That said, Zion is a very exciting dunker, but his style is about physicality and violence, not tricks and props and things we've never seen before.
Mm. This is a Bill Simmons family tree and showdown here. Could it be? Kevin Clark, take the FaceTime.
Yes. All right, so there was a report in Puck yesterday by John Aran saying that Fox considered, didn't go through with it, an NIL deal for Caitlin Clark to get her to return to Iowa for another year of college basketball. Instead, she opted for the WNBA. Maybe unintentionally, Fox stumbled upon a pretty good idea for the next few years of college athletics. I think eventually there will be revenue sharing, these guys will be employees, but until then, Carson Beck, Quinn Ewers, people like that who come back for another year, they should be paid by the networks to promote games, to appear in commercials, and have a pretty good bridge for the future of college football.
Wow. Mina Kimes, David Dennis Jr., don't you have a Love is Blind show to do on YouTube? Check it out. Tonight's the finale, right? See you tomorrow.